We have a whole squad that can really hoop and get the job done.
We got a way to win.
It's simple, simple, simple for us.
The first team ever in the 74-year history of the NBA to come back from being down 3-1 twice in the same playoffs.
Nuggets down one into Murray. Here we go. 10 seconds. Murray to Jokic. Jokic.
Hey guys, and welcome into another edition of the Chicken Nuggets. I'm your host, Jenna Garcia. I'm here with my co-host, Riley Biller. And it is a sad day for Nuggets fans. A devastating day for Nuggets fans. I don't know if we've had a blow this hard. Well, phrasing, hold on. I don't know if if Nuggets fans have endured a day like this sad since maybe Melo left, I guess. This feels like the day Melo left, like just sadness. Riley, when did you hear the news about Jamal Murray tearing his ACL?
Well, I was watching the game last night. Unfortunately, since I'm on the East Coast, I fell asleep around third quarter, and then I woke up and saw that Jamal hurt himself. I thought he just like hyperextended it, was going to be out the next few games. Then once again, I was doing sports or the Carolina News show, and I got the alert that Jamal Murray has a torn ACL. And the last two times I've done sports, it's been such a bad day. Roy Williams retired last time. Jamal Murray got hurt. This time I'm just like, okay, this sucks. But yeah, super downer. It hurts even more just because the Nuggets have been doing so great up until this point, and things are really looking like the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
And now it's just like a bunch of question marks. I don't know.
Right.
I'm still trying to like process it, really.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I think initially when I saw it happen, I was just like, no, he's going to be fine, because Jamal, we seen him fall. He's on the ground a lot in games. He is a hustler. Like he puts it all out there. I know like you were concerned that maybe he wasn't playing at full strength. He wasn't scoring like he was at the beginning, but he was putting out like good defensive games. I think he's been, in fact, my takeaway on Jamal up until 58 seconds left in the game last night was, well, he didn't have his shot, but he sure did work his ass off in every other area when he was on the floor. He was playing great defense. He was rebounding, getting deflections, getting steals. He was out there putting his best foot forward, no pun intended, and his best foot was his left leg, because he had been out for four games due to right leg soreness. And a lot of people think maybe he was overcompensating with that left leg. He pushes off of that left leg to go up in the air, and you just see you almost can see it like drop out. It was like on the push up where it hurt him, and he falls out of the air, hits the floor, and is smacking the floor, screaming in pain. On the broadcast, you could hear from the mics that are set up for the broadcast, mics picked up, you know, him, I don't know, crying, not tears crying, but like, you know, he was in pain. You could hear him saying, oh my God, oh my God. I reached out to my sister this morning because she tore her ACL twice, and I just wanted to know like how she would describe it. And you know, she's on the West Coast, so she must not be up yet. Unlike you, who's on the East Coast, and you know, it's later. So yeah, I haven't heard back from her, but I just can't imagine what Jamal's going through right now. I feel so bad for him. I feel bad for Nuggets Nation. And I can't believe it happened. It totally changes their trajectory, because they aren't who this team is not who they are. They don't get this far, or they don't get as far as they did last year in the bubble without Jamal Murray.
Yeah, I mean, they say when you tear your ACL, you can hear the pop. And I feel like Curry kind of showed a reaction right away. I wouldn't be surprised if he heard it. Apparently people around me can hear it as well.
Dang. I thought Curry's reaction honestly was kind of negative. Like, he shook his head, and to me it looked like he was annoyed with, like, the fact that there was either annoyed with another injury or annoyed that, like, it was the end of the game and maybe he just wanted the game to be over. But I mean, he tweeted out today, you know, his condolences to Jamal Murray. I'm sure he didn't know. I thought his initial reaction, I mean, you saw the video, right? His initial reaction kind of looked like he was annoyed to me. And I don't know annoyed with what, but as soon as he saw that, like, people came out and joined Jamal on the floor and stuff, he did kneel behind them. You could see him kneeling and waiting for Jamal. So, I mean, I know some people were like, what the heck? Steph didn't even comment on Jamal's night, but Steph had his own kind of big night and important night for his own career as well. And so he didn't comment on Jamal's injury post game. He did comment though now via Twitter, and I'm sure it wasn't like, I thought, oh, he looks annoyed, and then he realized it was actually a big deal. And then once he realized it was actual injury, he did show respect. So to me, it wasn't that big a deal, but I know a lot of Nuggets fans out there were pissed.
Yeah, it was it's really a game changer loss. I'm normally negative Nancy on Jamal, but the last 2-3 episodes, 2-3 weeks, I mean, I've only had good things to say about him. I think one of the worst things is the injury that it is that it we might not even see him till maybe like the end of the season or playoffs of next season. So you're talking he's going to miss the whole next season. So not only does this impact this playoff run, but it's going to impact the next run. And that's if he could come back healthy. I mean, ACL's not something to play with. Some guys can never come back. It's a scary injury. It's something that could be a mental game. So it's just that it's a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, they say it's about, I mean, I saw 10 months rehab after an ACL tear. I also saw for, like, most athletes, it's been nowadays it's more like 7 to 9 months. So yeah, you're talking about a good chunk of next season that he's going to miss. The Nuggets, I obviously just got done signing Aaron Gordon. Thank goodness. Imagine had they not signed him and they only signed JaVale McGee. I would have lost my mind. I would not have been able to contain myself. But thank God they signed Aaron Gordon. Hopefully Aaron Gordon can kind of fill in MPJ's current, you know, the third guy role, and MPJ can hopefully step up. It's unfortunate that MPJ was injured earlier this season, because you kind of hope that those were some of the best minutes he was, you know, good minutes that he was getting to put in when it didn't count as much, where now you're getting the last chunk, last month of the regular season where games really do matter a little bit more. But do you think MPJ can fill the very big shoes of the two next to Nikola Jokic, and what are you seeing from them as far as their chemistry goes over the last few games?
I mean, the last few games, the chemistry has been right on. I thought they've been playing very well together. And here's my thing. I think MPJ can fill that role offensively, no problem. It's really going to be the defensive end. Jamal became the top defender for this team. I don't know if MPJ could fill that kind of role, but that's gonna be up to someone else, or who knows, who might surprise us. But the offensive part, I think, will be fine. The leadership is gonna be something that hurts, because Jamal was kind of the leader of this team, and I think that's really gonna hurt when it comes to the playoffs. I think they'll be fine in the regular season, maybe not finish as great as they were on track to since getting Aaron Gordon, but I think they'll be fine on that aspect. But when you enter the playoffs, it's just a different game, and you want Jamal, who showed tremendous amount of will to win and leadership last season, you would have wanted that on the court. I don't know if MPJ could fill those shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough to a lot to put on MPJ too. We're talking about his second full year in the league, with like an actual, and really his only his first year with like a real major role on a team consistently for the entire season. So a lot of guys usually you give them 3 years, you give them 4 years before they're like carrying that much weight, obviously with the exception of a few guys, LeBron James. But MPJ has been shooting really efficiently. He's been playing great. He's probably one of the most efficient players, shooters right now in the league. And I hope, like you said, on the offensive side of the ball, he can get it done. I will say, like, the last few games, he struggled from three. And I don't know what's up with that, but he needs to just, whatever mental block is there, he needs to let it go, because they depend on him from three now, because your other three-point shooter in Jamal will no longer be there. I'm glad they have Aaron Gordon moving forward, especially for defense. I think that is so important, but it'll be interesting to see, do they go with Monte? Do they go with Faku? Who do they plug into that spot as a second, instead of Jamal Murray?
I'm going to go with PJ on this. And I know I've been the biggest PJ advocate, but you need a guy that could go in and guard shooting guards. And the next best defender for a guard position would be PJ. I think Jokic, Porter, Gordon step up. They're going to take care of the offense. But I think the part you really need to replace is Jamal's defense. PJ could come in and give you defense. That's a guarantee. His offense, we don't know. Sometimes he could play good offense. Sometimes it's not there. But yeah, that we know. So to me, it'd be an easy choice. PJ Dozier, stick him in there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I thought of PJ too, just because of the defensive portion. I'd love it if PJ went in there and did one thing and one thing only, and that's play defense. Like, literally none of these mid-range jumpers. I don't want to see it, PJ. I don't want to see it. Just pass the ball to Nikola. We don't have time. We do not have time for you to take those shots. And that's kind of how I feel about Faku in there with the starters too. I know he's been shooting pretty well the last few games, but I'm kind of like, but you taking a shot is so much riskier than just passing it to Nikola and letting him take a shot in my opinion. So, I like PJ in that role too. I wonder if Malone goes with Monte, because he feels like, but then Monte and Faku would be weird in the starters to me.
That's too short.
Yeah, makes sense.
That's too short. They're going to be able to back both those guys down. You can't, one short guy you can work with. Two short guys, you're pushing it in today's league. Too much. I personally believe Monte thrives coming off the bench. He's just one of those players that does better being the first guy off the bench. I wouldn't want to mess that up.
Yeah, Monte.
Again, I wouldn't be surprised, especially because he has been playing well.
Yeah, no, I think, but when you think about putting PJ out there, I get what you're saying, like Monte and Faku, two short guys. But when you put PJ out there and you're saying, okay, he's just going to defend, then you take away two shooting threats, right? Because Faku's not really a shooting threat. I don't think anybody considers him a shooting threat. Although I love how he was like pissing off Steph last night with his defense. He was the night before that, Faku was in the game and against Boston, and he got a steal and then hit a shot on the other end, and Boston called a timeout. And I was like, yeah, they're pissed off because this little dude just like work them, you know, and of course they're going to be pissed off for that. So I do love that aspect of Faku, but if you have Faku and PJ out there, you know, now you're only giving them real other teams really three shooting threats, so they can typically, you know, defend those three guys better. So I don't know if that's the answer either. I'm sure Mike Malone is already thinking about it. The Nuggets are in fourth place, so I kind of get, I think there's a little bit of frustration with Nuggets Nation, I guess I'll say, because there's some people who think, you know, Jamal shouldn't have been out there. And I've mentioned it. It was on the 58 seconds left in the game. I get it. They were in striking distance, but Jamal's out on the court with 58 seconds when he's been injured and out for four games. Did it really matter for Jamal to be out there? Riley. I don't think the situation doesn't need a there. We don't need to play the blame game, right? There's so we can blame coach, we can blame training staff. When you really think about the roles in the NBA, the role of the players to play games, and they have a lot more power than we really realize, you know, or we think about. Players, Jamal has a lot of power on this team. Michael, probably more power than Michael Malone. I don't think Michael Malone really thinks about or focuses on his role is to focus on the game and the game plan and who's going to be in the game at certain times. I don't really think he is constantly focused on injury. That's his training staff's job, right? And his training staff, their job is to make sure players are available to play. And I think that's where it kind of gets tricky is we think the training staff is there to make sure, just like what we experienced in high school or whatever level we played, our training staff or trainers were there to make sure we were safe if anything should happen to us, make sure that we were able to be get safely to a hospital or whatever. In the NBA, the training staff is there to make sure that the guys are strong and healthy to play and available to play. And Nuggets training staff made sure Jamal was available to play. But I think my biggest, I'm not trying to play the blame game is what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to play it. And yet I think the biggest issue here is that the training staff is not there to keep the players safe, because this is a business and the business is you got to be out there to play, to entertain. And Jamal Murray obviously knows that. He's a warrior. He likes to be in the game. He probably wanted to be in this game at 58 seconds left. I have no doubt in that. And yet I'm still like, why didn't somebody tell him no? Why didn't somebody intervene and get him out of that game?
Well, it's easy to say that, but at the end of the day, I mean, that's a normal situation for him to be in the game. That's the normal play for him to have. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not thinking the game was over. Da, da, da. I mean, it's so easy to look at that when someone gets injured. It's just accidents happen. This is one of those scenarios.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's what we really have to walk away with. And as a fan, we all kind of go through that process. We're pissed that he's in the game at 58 seconds left. Now we've gone, it's like the grieving process. We're like, it sucks. Malone, we're mad at Malone. Why the hell did you have him in there? Then we move on. We're like, training staff.
We're mad at the world right now. That's what's happening. Exactly. We're mad at the world. That's it.
Exactly, exactly. But more than anything, it's our sadness in the fact that he's injured. He's not going to be able to play for the rest of this season. And now our hopes of contending for a championship over the next couple of years seems a little bit more distant once again. And it's like we can't catch a break as Nuggets fans. It's incredibly frustrating. But I think aside from Jamal Murray's injury, there were some issues in last night's game that came up. For example, the Warriors letting Steph Curry cook them all night. He ends up having 50. He has 21 in the first quarter. They get out the gate and don't execute their game plan. And he ends up ending the night with 50 points. They totally break down in the third quarter. And once again, it's the Nikola Jokic upset with the refs show. What were your takeaways from the game, Riley? Did you think that, I mean, obviously Jamal Murray's injury is devastating and for moving forward for this team, but there were some other things that, other issues that have been consistently a struggle for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think the win streak was going, they came out flat. They looked a little more flat than normal, but overall, like, I mean, we can't expect them to win every game. Well, they were on an eight game win streak, I believe. There was going to be a game we were going to lose. There was going to be a game where they're going to come out a little more tired. They've been playing their butts off. And I think it was just one of those scenarios. I don't think the Warriors were better than the Nuggets. I think they just played a better game. And obviously there's a lot of hype going around because Steph did this great thing for their organization. That'll give you momentum and push you to motivate you to do, like, to motivate your whole team to go out and play a good game. And that's what I think happened. It was a big night for the Warriors, so the Warriors kind of took it and run with it.
No, yeah, I totally agree with you. And like, that game did not, I mean, the Nuggets are better than the Warriors. Even without Jamal Murray, the Nuggets right now are better than the Warriors, than the Warriors right now without Klay Thompson. I don't think like that in a series, the Nuggets lose to the Warriors by any means. Unless, of course, you're Steve Kerr does something and figure something out about the Nuggets, because they could get out coached, but I don't think they'll get outplayed by the players on the court. I think the Nuggets have a better lineup, have better reinforcements, and can do more with Jokic and Gordon and MPJ healthy. So I don't think that Nuggets fans need to take this loss or this L to heart too much. The L of losing Jamal Murray is definitely more devastating than losing to the Warriors on a random Monday night regular season game. So I don't think it's a big deal. The Nuggets actually have been playing well in the third quarter. They've actually won since the Aaron Gordon trade. There were a few third quarters that they still lost, and then they started winning third quarters. I think they got 4 or 5 in a row that they won, and then they dropped the one to Boston, and then by 1 point, and then the one last night. So, and of course, I only know this random shit because I bet on it all the time. But I actually bet Nuggets third quarter last night because they had been winning them and coming out so strong, and I thought, oh, they could come out strong against this Warriors team. But of course, Steph kept cooking. The Nuggets couldn't get anything to fall, and they can't get the win, the third quarter win, or the win overall last night. I think the biggest issue moving forward, though, is this Jokic complaining about the refs thing. I don't know how much you watched the Nuggets last season before the bubble, Riley, or even any seasons before that, but younger Jokic was a lot like what you're seeing in the last few games, where he complains a lot. There's a lot of this, you know, like everybody could do that meme of Jokic with his hands raised in the air. He could be praying, but then you see the look on his face and he's definitely not praying. He's complaining about the ref. And there were a lot of games. What we're seeing in these last few games looks a lot like 2 years ago, where Jokic complained about the refs, Jokic complained about the refs, Jokic complained about the refs. And he has really gotten away from that this season. He's been incredibly patient and calm, and he hasn't gotten calls all year. It's not that he was getting calls and now he's not. It's just, I think it's fatiguing him. He's to a point where he's like, oh, I can't believe we're this deep in the season, and I have been doing what I'm supposed to do for so long, and you guys still won't give me a call. And so he finally is kind of at his wit's end about it and complaining. And I just think it has a lot to do with the point in the season we're at. I think he's tired. Everyone's fatigued. We've talked about how tired Jamal Murray was throughout this season. And it just so frustrating to me that we're here, because I told you, Rye, I told you he was tired. I told you he was fatigued, and now he's fucking injured. And now he's out for a whole another year. And I'm so mad, because the league has set it up this way. But I mean, players agreed. Players wanted to get their money, and they agreed to this many games. And so that's what's happening across the league. You know, what frustrates me is that I want this organization to value rest. And that goes for Nikola Jokic too. There is a real thing.
What do you mean rest? Like, are you talking about Kawhi Leonard rest? Like, are you talking the
rest, LeBron rest, AD rest, KD rest? We have been mocking the Nets all season. Oh, they're not taking the season seriously. To me, they're taking it more seriously. They're taking it more seriously because they know they're injury prone. They know that a championship matters. So they are planning for the playoffs. We got to stop saying that rest is a bad thing and start valuing it. Would you rather your team rest or win a championship and win a championship, or not rest and tear their ACL in a regular fucking season game?
That could have happened if you rest more this season or not. It was the play that happened. Yes, it would have. Rest is today's soft NBA. No, I don't believe in rest. No, I don't believe just sitting out because of rest. No, well, technically, who knows if this is true, but yes, LeBron is hurt. Yes, AD is hurt, and they do actually have to be out. Then you look at the Nets. Do I think that rest is
different?
Do I think that the rest that the Nets are doing, specifically Kyrie Irving, who never plays a goddamn game, is going to help the Nets in the playoff? 1,000% no, because these are players that they have to learn chemistry. They have to play together. They have to see what works. It's a process. The Nets have not figured that out.
Floor. At least he'll be on the floor. Jamal Murray won't be on the fucking floor because he will be out. Because we don't believe in injury that
happens. It happens. You can look at any avenue you want to look. You want to look, he played in the bubble. You want to look that they have 72 games in this season that came up relatively fast, shortest offseason ever. Yes, you can look at all these things. But at the end of the day, they are signed to play basketball for a full season in playoffs, which many players do, and many injuries happen, and that's part of the game. I do not, just because this devastating news happened, and it's really heartbreaking, I do not believe, will not come back on rest. There's been plenty of teams that didn't have to rest their players and won a championship. Plenty of them. You look at the Heat, you looked at the Warriors, you look at the Celtics. Those players, they didn't rest a bunch in the season. The Kawhi thing, never going to work for the Clippers.
Riley, it's totally different. Those teams were able to do it because there wasn't a shortened season that's tacked on to the other bubble, the long bubble season. It's totally different. This season, that's fine. Rest in a regular season when it's a regular season, fine. What you're saying is fine. But in this particular season where it's tacked onto the extended bubble time, they didn't get much off season. They weren't able to rest. It absolutely does matter. You can't say, oh, it could have, it definitely would have still happened if Jamal had gotten rest and his body hadn't been so fatigued. Of course, his body is more prone to injury if he has been the more fatigued you are. Everybody knows that. If I run 10 miles every day, I'm going to likely injure myself because the more I run, the more likely chance I'm giving myself to injure myself. If I run 10 miles today and then I work it out where I'm working, 5 miles tomorrow, 1 mile the next day, rest, no running the next day, I'll be able to sustain a longer progress and be able to sustain my body will sustain more miles over a longer period of time. Jamal Murray has played some of the most minutes this season coming out of the bubble and being one of the guys who played the most minutes in the bubble. I absolutely think that in this season, we'll just talk about this one in particular because it's so weird. The truncated season that it is tacked on with the very little rest in the offseason. I absolutely think the Nets are doing the right thing and resting their guys. I absolutely think LeBron's injured, AD's injured, Jamal Murray was injured. He could have waited and not played yesterday's game. It was a Warriors team. They're in the 10th seed. Who gives a fuck? If we beat the Warriors.
Okay, here's the thing, though. First of all, the Nets, terrible example because none of them played last season and they weren't in the bubble. And when they were in the bubble, Kyrie didn't even go. Second, I see what you're saying about, it was shorter. It's more on the body, 100%. But it's also on the player too. I'm sure if he wanted to be out, he would be out. But he didn't want to be out. So you can't just look at the coaching staff, the league, all this stuff. They told him they can have rest days as long as it wasn't a national televised game. Last night was a national televised game. So he had to play. We don't have that many national televised games. Another thing is, what I would say instead of rest is maybe don't play him 35 minutes every single game. Maybe they could have done better at his minutes management and not overdone it 100% there. But a full game of just sitting, especially national televised, when they said to play national televised, you play because it's your job. And most people in Denver who can't even watch the games, who can finally watch the game, no, we don't want to see him on the bench for rest.
Well, did you want to see him on the bench for the playoffs? Because you're going to now. So I guess.
No, I didn't.
Rest for a nationally televised game, we're going to watch all of the playoffs with him on the bench. All of the playoffs are nationally televised, by the way. But instead of blaming, I just don't think pushing the player's body to forcing him to play in a nationally televised game.
But he wasn't for,
that's if, important.
If he was still injured, he could have said he was still injured and been out and not play. This also goes on to the
wall. He was grabbing his knee that was sore all night. He was never in the middle of the first quarter.
If he wanted to be out of the game because he felt injured, he would have. It's a both side thing.
But
the
players he's never going have to
power in this situation to do what they want to do.
No, he absolutely has the power. And if he was LeBron, if he was Kyrie, if he was KD, if he was Harden, if he was 80, he would have sat out because he would have known that it doesn't matter. A Monday night regular season game against the 10 seed Warriors doesn't matter, but he's Jamal and he has a heart of freaking like of a warrior. He wants to be in every game. Yes. But I don't think, I mean, obviously tough lesson for Jamal to learn. Hopefully he learns now to not just go in the game because the trainers say, yeah, you're probably, you're good to go for tonight.
No, they say you're good to go tonight. How do you feel? Do you think you could play tonight? There's always the question to them, not you could play tonight, you're going to play tonight.
No, fine. Okay, fine. Let's say it's your way. Yeah, you're good tonight. How do you feel? You think that Jamal had, like anybody, like a new person who's learning something, when somebody presents to you, yeah, you can play tonight, and you haven't experienced this before, you haven't experienced your body giving out on you, you haven't experienced playing this many minutes on your body ever in your time, in your career before, you're going to say, yeah, because you, if especially when you have the heart of a warrior, if he had was LeBron or KD or even had a vet talking to him and telling him, hey man, you don't got to go out there tonight. But instead the media, he hears you guys say stuff like, no, that's stupid, that you're so soft, and to calling him soft. And so of course he's never going to say, I don't want to play, because he doesn't want to be soft. And it's not being soft. It's taking care of yourself so that the you have longevity. It's taking care of yourself so that your team wins a championship. Like if he was really thinking about how much money he could make if he won a championship versus how much money he would make to, or how much money he'd be charged for missing a national televised game, it wouldn't have been a question, because it's not, it's the reward of winning a championship is way better. Just pay the fine.
Well, that was his call there. And I mean, this is his what, fourth or fifth year in the league. I mean, that's stuff for him to learn. That's things that you've seen. It's not a surprise, but I mean, it's also hard to say we should have been resting him all season when this team struggled for a long time to even be in the spot that they're in, which is the fourth seed. But for a while there, we were hoping, like we were on the edge of the playoffs or not. So to say that we should have been right to him, we might not even be in the position that we're in right now. Or when we were winning eight games, this was never a conversation. But an injury happened, a significant one, and now it's coming up.
No, but it comes down to we weren't successful early on in the season. The team wasn't successful early on because they didn't get him anybody in the offseason. When they lost Jeremy Grant, they didn't fill in that role, and they had to ride Jamal so hard. They had to ride Nikola so hard. Thank God Nikola has not gotten injured. But it's not because they haven't been riding him hard or because Jamal's weaker than him. They've just been riding both of them the whole season. Thank God they finally got Aaron Gordon. Yes. Thank God MPJ is healthy again. But MPJ wasn't there. And most of that, those minutes and that time, you know, the overlap role of riding with the second unit fell on Jamal a lot. A lot. And I think that there should be some responsibility to the other people in the organization that they hold to say, hey, you don't got to go out there. Just like it was, like I thought that Golden State should have said to KD, you don't have to play in this game.
He wanted to come out and play that game.
I'm sure, but somebody, and just like in the same way, I think somebody should have been there to advise him, hey, weigh out the options. Same with Jamal. Weigh out the options.
It didn't happen though.
Different because it was a playoff situation. This was just a regular season game.
How do you know it didn't happen though? What if Paul Millsap went up to him and said, hey man, you don't have to play? Or a trainer said, I mean, you're okay, but you're putting yourself at risk. We don't know if that was.
Also, don't know that it was Jamal's decision to be on the floor. You don't know that he wasn't.
He was on the floor. And at the end of the day, the people, especially now more than any time ever, the players have the power to do what the players want. And to me, that falls on Jamal. I'm not blaming him because I know this is basketball and ACLs and many other injuries happen. And it's just what happened on this play. It was unfortunate. It sucked, but it happens and it's part of the game and people get injured and you can't look back now and say, because of this and this. No, it's because they got injured on that certain play.
No, I'm not looking back. I've been saying all season that they've been riding Jamal too hard. I've been saying his minutes count has been way too high. And I've been saying that he's been fatigued and that he was going to get injured sooner or later. And all of those things have come true. And he's still pushing to come back so quickly. He missed 4 games. Look at the other guys in the league, veteran guys like LeBron. I'm injured. I'm not just going to miss 4 games. I'm going to miss as many games as I need to get healthy. He's not.
LeBron James is 36, though. They're probably feeling different things. They're probably in different. If it was LeBron James of the Miami Heat, do I think he would have came back the same way Jamal did? 100%. Because he was younger and more reliable at that point in his career. So that's probably where Jamal was at. I don't think we're going to agree on this.
No, I get what you're saying. Maybe we don't, and yeah, we don't know, but we also don't know what pressure was being put on him to participate, to play, or, you know, what pressure we don't understand. I don't think that we've taken into account what pressure they take from what people say if he doesn't play. And I think that that's where we need to readjust the message that players are receiving. It's okay to rest. It's okay to give your body rest. We all need rest. The fact that we think that because they're professional athletes, that they can push through the mental, emotional, and physical fatigue because, oh, well, they're a professional athlete. They should be able to do it. No, they do the physical part. He pushed through the physical fatigue as much as he could, and he forced himself to injury. And it's just, and now we're seeing Nikola Jokic be mentally and emotionally fatigued with the refs and with everything that's gone on this season. So I think it's a real thing. I think we need to change the message that the players are receiving. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's right or wrong or they shouldn't be fined, whatever. But I'm saying we need to change that message because I don't think we take into account what players feel the need to play in a game because everyone says if they don't play, they're soft, or if they don't play, they're weak, or if they don't play, then they don't care about the team, or they're not a warrior. Jamal Murray's been a warrior all season. If he needed to stay an extra game, I wish he would have received that message from somewhere. And unfortunately, I think the bigger message out there from all of Twitter and people who are even outside of the organization is if you don't play, you're soft. And that's not the case. And I think that really does need to change. But that's why I think Nikola should take a mental health day. Those are real things. Those are definitely it, because it seems like the refs have just gotten under his skin and he can't get over it. And we need him to get over it because he plays better when he's not focused on the refs and he's focused on the game. He's had a couple weird games as this fatigue has kind of built up. Couple extra techs, technical fouls. Just, he's not the Jokic that he can be when he's focused on the refs. So hopefully he gets over that.
Well, I think the next couple of games, like, we should go in, like, fans and everything outside should go in. Don't expect a grand performance. I think it's going to take time to adjust, going to take time to process. They got a lot of things to figure out, and that's, I think, what they're going to be doing in the next few games. So I don't expect them to win the next few just because it's adjustment period. But the last thing I'll say is if I was a competitor, like I think that Jamal Murray is, actually I know because he is one of those guys I do respect for always going out there. What I think he was thinking, that all I've been thinking every time I see the NBA standings, is the Nuggets are sitting at a 4 seed and the Lakers are sitting at a 5 seed. That is scary to think about. Do I think the Nuggets were making a legitimate push to try to get in the top 3 seeds? 100% so they didn't have to deal with the Lakers the very first round. And I think that was on his mind when the decision to be played or not was there. I think that was a big part of it, because there's only so many games left, and that those standings are coming up more than they have been the whole season, and it was just scary to look at.
It could have been on his mind for sure. The game, the Lakers are one game back from the Nuggets, and the Nuggets are six games back from first place. They face the Heat tomorrow night. That's going to be interesting. I agree with you. Like, we're going to need to give them like space to kind of just get over this injury and find their new way. Hopefully after that Heat game, they can do that. They do face the Rockets, the Grizzlies, and then the Blazers after that. I mean, the Rockets and the Grizzlies might give them enough time by next week to feel like they can get over the loss of Jamal Murray and figure out how they're going to proceed for the rest of the season. I don't think that they're as down and out as they could have been, right? I think getting Aaron Gordon and MPJ progressing the way that he has been is really the silver lining here. Obviously, you wish Jamal Murray was going to be out there with those guys, and it won't be the same as it would have been with him there. But I think this team isn't just, you know, drowning yet. I think they can still be in the playoffs. I think they can still give a good push. It's really going to be important for Nikola and MPJ to start building that chemistry even more than they already have. And for Aaron Gordon to start taking a few more shots, taking a lot more shots, actually. He's going to have to start taking a lot more shots. But I hope that they come out tomorrow against the Heat and just play really hearts out. I think that they could potentially play hearts out, you know, just with the emotion of Jamal Murray, and losing a player can sometimes do that for a team. So I think they could potentially have a good game against the Heat, and they could also totally come out and be like flat as hell and not have anything because they just feel deflated from the loss. So don't expect too much. Like Riley said, we can agree at least on that, right? And hopefully this Nuggets team is able to bounce back for the rest of this season. But most importantly, we're going to miss Jamal, and it was a big blow for the Nuggets Nation. So thanks for tuning into this episode of the Chicken Nuggets on the Denver Stiffs Podcast Network. And we'll be back next week. Talk to you then.